Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome your sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day intensive workshop for men seeking to overcome sexually addictive behaviors. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery. Your experts have over 35 years of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next workshop coming up June 5th through the 7th in Texas. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with Stephen. Stephen, how are you today?
I am feeling full of joy and happiness today. Thank you for asking.
Well, that's wonderful. And we are glad that you're with us, listeners. And we wanted to let you know, as we do periodically, that we are a listener-supported broadcast. And we're grateful to those of you who have partnered with us in this mission of being able to train men and educate women in a worldview of biblical sexuality. And so if you'd like to learn about the various ways that you can come alongside and partner with us in being able to get good information out to folks who just need help along their journey, you can go to puresexradio.com and click on the donate button and learn about the various ways about how you can support us. I think it's interesting, too, that the people that that have come along and supported us, they are helping us to spread this message of hope, not just to our friends here in the United States, but also to listeners in over 80 countries around the world. And so it's always exciting to see where people are picking up the podcast all around the world. We continue to get emails and contact. We've actually gotten some phone calls from some of our foreign friends to tell us about how the broadcast has helped them in their lives. It's really neat, too, to hear about various support groups that actually take pieces of our podcasts and they play them in their support group, and then they use them as a discussion piece. So however you're using the podcast, we're grateful, because our whole hope is that we're able to just get information out there that gets people starting to talk and move in a direction that is healthy and good. So, Stephen, I'm going to pass it off to you, because today we're going to talk about beliefs.
Yes, thank you. I had an opportunity recently to look at one of Gary Smalley's books. It's called I Promise. And I've always liked Gary Smalley, but some of his stuff I thought was light. You know, it was just good technique and all that. But the man has gotten wiser and older and richer and deeper. So I've mixed some of his ideas from his book with some of my ideas, but I want to credit him so he knows that I value and respect, and you know that also. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about beliefs today. And so my question is, what are some of your beliefs? And some of you know I'm a professional counselor and I do this for a living. And so I got a bunch of thoughts myself on this topic. And so I approach things from an emotional standpoint, lots of times from like a trauma standpoint. Trauma in our life is very significant. What traumatic moments shaped us? And so what are some of your beliefs that came from these traumatic moments? And I'm really asking, what are some of the negative beliefs that you have? What are some of your secret beliefs, those deep beliefs that you received sort of in a wounded, weakened place? Because what we know is the negative emotions encode in deeper than the positive ones. They're so charged with so many emotions, they're encoded in the brain and in the memory more powerfully than the pleasurable ones. And I'm not talking about sexuality. I'm just talking about nice things that happen.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. So what are your thoughts right now? You're the audience.
Well, I'm thinking.
What are you thinking right now?
Well, I'm thinking about just in my own life, you know, answering that question and thinking, man, you know, some of the things that happened early on, and of course, a lot of my, you know, trauma in childhood was related to my sexuality and exposure to pornography and viewing some things that were very difficult. And I think one of the things that, as I think about this question, you know, what are some of the beliefs that came out of that, is one of the beliefs I guess I had that came out of that was it's better to hide than to come up front. It's better to, you know, kind of crawl into the corner and close your eyes and hope things go away than to actually deal with them.
That's good.
And so I think that's one of my beliefs. And I think along with that is I believed that fear was, I guess, normal. And I don't know how to describe that necessarily, but almost in a way that, like, fear, I guess, isn't something that you should try to overcome or fight. It just is what it is. So, I mean, fear, you can't win against fear.
It's there,
yeah.
But it also shapes your belief, right? Mm-hmm. If you're afraid, then you're not relaxed, or you're not in charge, you're not on top, you're sort of behind, right?
But what's interesting is it shapes the beliefs in the sense that, you know, what one of my major coping mechanisms is that I learned over time?
Yes.
Control. So out of this belief of, you know, hey, fear is what it is, you're just going to be afraid, scared little kid all the time, I tried to combat that by saying, no, I'm going to control it because I don't want to have anything that would surprise me, anything that would take me off guard, anything that would make me afraid.
That's too good, because if you think about it, you're saying fear in a general way, and you're
right.
Saying fear that things are out of control. Mm-hmm. And so what's my solution? Gain control,
totally
take control,
right.
Hold control, right? So mine was, I grew up, I'm short, I'm not very smart, I'm Hispanic, and I'm watching these real smart kids around me excel, and they catch the lessons, and they do their homework, and they're popular and pretty, and it's like, I'm not as good as other people, right? So from my context, I develop a belief also. And then how do I act based on that belief? I'm going to be a pleaser. I'm going to please everybody. And if you find me pleasing, then you won't run me off, right? So isn't that interesting? You and I now have talked about our sort of woundedness and then what we believed about you can't control your environment and I'm not good enough. And then we designed ourselves to live in that as strong as we can with control and pleasing. And then now all of our actions are based on that system.
Mm-hmm.
So you're strong and you order and you keep control and nothing slips out of control and you have an answer quick and you're good and you're fast. And I smile and I make people happy.
Tell jokes.
Yeah, there you go. And it's just like, let's all laugh together. And so isn't that interesting, because that's all based on our belief system, right? Mm-hmm. Something happened and we developed some thoughts about it, and we repeated those until they solidified into a belief, and now we act a certain way. And that all comes from our childhood, and we're not kids anymore.
And that is the difficulty right there, I think, that last thing you said. You know, we're not kids anymore. But yet these things, I think they get so deeply ingrained because they happen during those really formative developmental years where there's so many things that kind of are still coming together biologically and in your brain and all these kinds of things, that even when you get to adulthood and you might be introduced, and even during your childhood, when you're introduced to ideas that are true, let's say you're introduced to scripture. I know whenever I would read the Bible, and there are numerous places in the Bible where God encourages us to fear not. And I would struggle with that.
Wow, that's good.
I'd struggle. I was like, how do you not fear? My life is gripped constantly with fear. Fear of being found out. Fear of, you know, rejection. Fear, fear, fear. And fear of all the things that I cannot
control. Hey, maybe you ought to do this show because now you have me on the edge of my seat going, and how did he resolve it? Ladies and gentlemen, next week we'll tell you the answer to this question. How did Jonathan resolve this fear of being found out? Fear of letting them know. Fear of looking weak. Fear of them getting inside. Fear of... And the Bible says, don't fear, Jonathan.
And that's the... Well, here's the thing. When you said, but now we're not kids anymore... That's really the difficulty is you get to a place where you feel like, or I got to a place where I felt like I should know better. I should know how to deal with fear.
That's shame.
And it is. It is, totally.
Like, now you got a shame dialogue on top of a wound.
And that's what I think happens when we get to adulthood. We have built this incredible bedrock foundation of beliefs that are based on these traumas and wounds and whatever that was telling us in that season of our life.
Yes.
We get to adulthood. People look to us and they have an expectation that we are thinking and processing like an adult. And then we go, I'm still 4, I'm still 10.
We got a young emotional system inside.
I'm still gripped
goodness,
by...
That is really smart, what you're saying.
Well, and it's like, so people would look at me as an adult and think that I'm, because I had this sense of, like you said, control and was quick and could take care, you know, manage things and nothing would catch me off guard, they're thinking, wow, what a highly mature person.
He must be rock solid on the inside like he is on the outside.
And on the inside, I'm still going, I can't resonate with these passages that say fear not. I'm completely and totally gripped with fear.
Mm.
And so...
So just hearing them doesn't dismantle the belief system is what you're
saying. Because beliefs go very,
very deep. It doesn't change the thoughts. It doesn't change the actions. Mm-hmm. You can nod with your head. Your spirit can say, yes, we're not supposed to have fear in here. But if that's your life story, you got fear, right? So are you going to tell us, or at the
end? We got to go more on
into
this.
Oh, you're going to keep us, this is guessing here. Does he resolve this? Is he still in the same state? You know, hang on, ladies and gentlemen. So here's what we know. Wrong beliefs motivate wrong behaviors, right? If your belief is off, then you're going to be acting out and doing stupid things. If you don't like who you are, then you're going to run over and get liked somewhere. And since these talks about sexual struggles, a guy that doesn't feel good about himself, he discovers his sexuality. So, of course, he goes to find some picture of some female that's looking at him and smiling and saying, aren't you wonderful? You know? But he's got bad beliefs that are tormenting him, and now he needs relief, so now he's doing bad behaviors. And then somebody says, well, just stop it. Stop those behaviors. Just stop them. Why doesn't that work?
Because of what we've been talking about here. These beliefs are not something that are shallow. They're not something that don't have deep roots. These things go all the way to the core of the being. That'd be like somebody coming to me when I was, you know, 25 years old and saying, fear not. Just stop being afraid.
Yes.
And it's like, are you kidding me? My whole life, all I've known is to be gripped by fear. Mm. All I've known is to be the kid that wants to hide, that wants to make sure nobody knows him, that make sure nobody can get into that secret compartment in his soul. And so it's, even if it's well-meaning, you know, a person comes to a porn addict, a person who loves him, and says, stop looking at porn. It's killing
just stop
you.
It. Just stop it. Give me, I'm going to throw the magazine away. Just stop it. You can stop it. Stop it.
Yeah, and that'd be, again, the equivalent of just telling this guy that's...
But what does that do to somebody when you tell him, just stop it? It's not a bad idea. Stop it. Not a bad idea. But what does it do to a guy if I said, just stop it, Jonathan, just stop it, okay? Give me that magazine. Don't look at it anymore. Stop it. Come on, you can do this. Just stop it.
You know what I would say? You're right. You're right. I need to stop this. It's
just
not,
to shut me up, you mean?
No. And here's the thing.
Yes, it's the right answer.
What I'm saying is I would say you're right in what you're telling me.
Yes.
But what you're hitting on is not the real issue. You're right in telling me that, yeah, because we're saying here wrong beliefs motivate wrong behaviors. Well, when people are looking at the wrong behaviors and then they're saying stop looking at porn, which is the behavior, right?
Yes.
They've got to correct solution, quote unquote, but it's not hitting the actual problem.
They're addressing the solution.
They're looking at the results of the wrong beliefs, and it's these wrong behaviors, and they're saying stop doing those behaviors. When in fact, we need to talk about these beliefs. What is driving those behaviors?
That's
and let's work
underneath.
With that.
Yes, and so one of the thoughts is look at the actions, and then try to peel that back. Why is that important? What need does that serve? You know, so in your case, controlling, when you start doing controlling behaviors, ask yourself, why do I need to be in control right now? Oh, my fear is up. Or if people are upset with me, why am I afraid? Oh, they're not being pleased. They're mad. And then to dig in, because remember, what is the rule? Keep everybody happy. If people are around you happy, they'll like you. Or if there's order, you'll be safe. But now we're starting to dig down, right? Mm-hmm. And that is more helpful to explore the issue, dig in, recognize if you work at the surface, you're only going to change the surface. You're not going to change the system that drives this.
And that needs to be really reiterated, because so many folks out there that are trying to correct unhealthy behaviors and correct behaviors that are damaging their lives and their relationships, they get involved with well-meaning programs, or they get on a pathway that is addressing those behaviors simply from a behavioral model. And what ends up happening is you see changed behaviors, but guess what? You've got to perpetually stay in whatever that system is to keep those behaviors changed. And to me, it's a pathway of exhaustion, because you're not ultimately addressing what's driving those behaviors. And here's what I've found, and I'm going to kind of give a little bit of hope and a little bit of kind of a nugget out there. My fear issue has been dealt with. My porn issue has been dealt with. And here's the reason why. I spent a lot of years digging into these deeper areas. And here's what I've discovered. As my wrong beliefs were corrected, guess what automatically started to flow out of my new right beliefs?
Better behavior?
Good behavior.
Oh, that's good.
And so here's sort of the pitch that I'd put out there for folks. If you want to remain in a system that you have to stay plugged into and work your butt off and be completely exhausted the rest of your life, that's your choice.
That's just behavior management.
Just behavior management. Yeah. But if you'd like to maybe roll your sleeves up and do a little bit harder work and actually try to dig into what are these beliefs that are driving these behaviors, I'm going to tell you, I think you're going to have a richer long-term experience, because for the short term, it'll be very painful, it'll be very difficult. There's a vulnerability that you have to embrace. It's very, very hard. But in the long term, you will be a new man or a new woman, who is now behaving differently, not because you're white-knuckling it and you're just forcing yourself to behave differently. You're behaving differently because you're a whole new person
from
in the core of your
right,
beliefs.
What's driving you emotionally.
Right.
And if we have time at the end, I would like to hear your new system, either in this episode or the next one. Mm-hmm. So let's keep going, though. Here's a thought from the book. Renowned biologist Dr. Bruce Lipton tells us that beliefs are 10 million times stronger in determining who we are than our thoughts.
Wow.
Beliefs are 10 million times stronger in determining who we are than are our thoughts. And why does that make sense? If you have a thought today, or if you're trying to use a little thought, a new fresh thought, what's the problem with a little thought? Somebody says, hey, I have a thought. Stop it. Here's a right. thought tool. Well, stop it.
Part of it is because it's a little insulting because it seems like, oh, yeah, I never had that thought before. You know? I mean, what porn actor has never had the thought to stop it? Wow, you know, that's revolutionary. I never thought about that before. No, the reason the little thought itself doesn't help is because you have an ocean of belief down here, and somebody's trying to put a little drop in, you know, and say, here's one little drop.
A fresh, clean water drop.
I've got an ocean of belief that I'm drowning in, and you think a little drop is going to make a difference? I mean, it's just...
And it's fleeting, and it's light, and it's for the moment. But you have lived years of, you know, past struggle and trauma and grief, and every time failure has occurred, it built on the old program. If you lost control, you work better at getting control, and you spent years at refining control, and then somebody says, hey, I have a new thought to give you. When you have got, you know, you've seen little padlocks. Well, Jonathan, yours are like 25-pound padlocks.
Right.
They're not, you know, 5-ounce padlocks. Right? When you're control and order, I mean, we're good at it, right? Mm-hmm. And so our systems are, as you say, an ocean currents and ebbs and flows, and one little thought or suggestion, you know, a little paper boat on the top is not going to change the ocean.
Now, I would also say here, you know, for those who may be offering these little thoughts, don't beat yourself up, okay? If you're offering a thought that says, hey, you know, you're looking at your husband and saying, stop looking at porn. Like Steven said before, that's a good idea, you know. But just be careful of then thinking that that's, you know, this deep sense of wisdom that's going to absolutely change this guy's life. No, it's you need to have the thought. You need to go ahead and share it. Don't beat yourself up when it doesn't magically produce the solution that you're hoping for, because there's a lot more deeper work that has to go on.
So do you want to go on, or do you want to tell us sort of where you've gotten to, and maybe we pick up this program some more?
I'd love to tell you where I've gotten, because one of my absolute favorite... So just to back up a little bit. So when I started my recovery, I was 25 years old when I started my recovery from a sexual addiction. And I knew I had a lot of shame lies, but I also knew I had a lot of these beliefs that were deep down about, you know, specifically this one on fear. And that what that meant is I needed to hide and control. Those were kind of my responses to my fear condition. And I knew that, you know, the word says, Jesus even said that it's the truth that sets us free, meaning he sets us free because he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Oh, that's good, yes.
So it's not just information, because you know what? I'd read the words.
The truth of his love.
Right.
Of his arms and holding
us. Of his person.
Yes.
Because I'd read the words in the Bible, but I hadn't seen them as, oh, this is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. This is a personal relationship with a personal God. And so when I came across this verse in Psalm 56, 3 and 4, and I'm going to get emotional because it wrecked me. It says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? And it washed over me in a sense of like, I'm glad you said arms. Because it was like Jesus put his arms around me and he said, son, what can anybody else do to you? They cannot, there is no way they can harm you because I've said I love you. So whenever you're afraid, come to me. When you're afraid, just surrender to me. Just drop in my lap. Just, you know, let your guard down. Come to me. I've got my arms around you. And you can trust me.
That's good.
Because what can any man do to you? Mm-hmm. And so it really went a long way for starting to tear down these old beliefs and replace them with a new one. So the replacement that happened here was fear was replaced with trust. And it's interesting because, you know, I'd been in the family of God since I was 6 years old. I placed my faith in Jesus when I was six. And this may be something that a lot of listeners who've been maybe in the church for a long time, they need to hear.
Okay.
Because, you know, we're always told, hey, who is a believer in Christ? It's somebody who trusts in Christ, right?
Yes.
Well, there's degrees of trust, let me tell you. Listen, the faith I had as a six-year-old, God accepted that.
Yes.
And he saved me. He put me in his book of life, put my name in his book of life, and he said, you have a home with me forever.
Mm.
But you know what? When I was 25 years old, I had to admit that I had not been trusting Christ in the sense of my life, because what I'd been doing is I'd been gripping control to ensure that nobody ever got close enough, because I was so afraid. And so when he says in his word, I'm afraid, trust, you know, put your trust in me, in the sense of let go of that control. Let go of all these things you're trying to manipulate. Because did you know what? There's not a single person in flesh that can harm you. Because what can they actually do to you? You know, what can they do to you when I've said, I love you, I care for you, you're mine?
You mean what can their rejection or...
Yeah, what could they say? You know, what could they do?
How could they hurt you? And, you know, if they took control, if they created a disorder, what can they do really?
The irony is it started giving me a whole new confidence to just be vulnerable, to be honest, to in a healthy way not care what people thought about me.
Yes.
You know, which is
it's freeing.
Which is so foreign to how I was before. I cared so much about what everybody thought
about me. Some people are not
going to
be pleased by me either.
Right.
And so I have to be okay with you're not happy. Talk to your God, because I'm not the God, right? So read the close out with the verse. It's so powerful. Say anything else you need to say, but let the last be these words.
Well, what I was going to say before that is this is the journey that I think you have to go on. If you're going to start, you know, we talked about wrong beliefs motivate wrong behavior. If you're struggling with some unhealthy behaviors, then start finding out what those core beliefs are. Mm-hmm. And then I would encourage you to search the scriptures in a way that says, I want to connect with the truth, the person of Jesus, and see what does he have to say to me that's going to start to minister and transform these former beliefs that have really just messed up my life. And I want you to know it wasn't like I read this one time and then magically, you know,
that's
a
good
light shone in the sky, and all of a sudden, all the scales were gone. It was over time, but there was definitely a significance to when this verse kind of hit me for the first time in a personal way, in a way as if Christ himself were speaking it to me, not in a way of like just, you know, black letters on a white page. So I encourage you to go on that journey. It's difficult because it's not one that comes easily, because it's not like these core beliefs are going to give up easily. There really is kind of a fight on your hands. But it's worth it in the long term, because remember what I said, when the core beliefs start to change, the natural outflow from the new beliefs are new behaviors. So you don't have to be so concerned about what's going to happen behaviorally if I really go on this journey of really seeking, you know, inner healing, because out of a clean heart come clean behaviors, you know?
That's good.
So let me share this verse with you again. It says, it's Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4, when I'm afraid. And the other thing I like to note here is it doesn't say if I'm afraid. God even knows that I will have fear in my being. And guys, guess what? I still get fear every now and then. There's still fear that grips my being. But he says, when I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? And so we want to leave you with those words this week. Just be encouraged that no matter how difficult this journey is, whatever people say about you, whatever people do around you, the God of the universe has said he loves you. And he says, hey, what can anybody do to you? You're mine. You're my kid, and I love you. So begin to work on these core beliefs, and you will see some transformation occur in your life.
Thanks, Jonathan.
We're glad you've been with us today, and we'll see you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.